الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The disbelievers tried very hard to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to cause harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the small group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were left with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed amazing spectacles of love and sacrificing everything of theirs to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The world has never seen such sacrifice and such display of love like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had shown throughout the association with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and specifically at this occasion. When the disbelievers were advancing towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a group of Ansar, approximately 7 of them that were near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "May yarudduhum anna wa huwa rafiqi fil jannah." Who will chase them away from us? Who will push them back? And he will be my companion in Jannat. In other narrations, Nabi says, "Man rajulun yashri lana nafsahu." Who will sell himself to us? So one Ansari Sahabi goes and he fights until he is killed. When that Sahabi falls, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the same thing. Another Ansari goes and he fights until he also becomes Shaheed. And like this, 5 to 7 Ansari Sahaba give their lives in protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them was Ziyad ibn Sakan radiallahu anhu. When he was injured, he was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his head on his Mubarak foot. And فَمَاتَ وَخَدُّهُ عَلَىٰ قَدَمِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sahabi has the privilege that his soul departed while his head was on the Mubarak foot of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, who was known as Khalu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the maternal side. Not his mother's brother, but he was a maternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was near Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu an calls him and says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling you. When he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes him sit in front of him. Sa'ad radiallahu an was a famous archer. He was the one to fire the first arrow in Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to push back the enemy with his arrows. Sa'ad radiallahu an begins to fire arrows. And with every arrow he was making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must allow the arrow to hit its target. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also making dua. Allahumma saddid ramyatahu wa ajib da'watahu. O Allah, allow his arrows to hit the target, and O Allah, answer his du'as. Therefore, this sahabi is known as Mustajabud Da'awat. From among the sahaba radiallahu anhum, he is known as that sahabi whose du'as would be readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, it was guaranteed that his du'as would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he finished all his arrows, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to pass arrows towards him. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed arrows towards him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, "Irmi fidaka abi wa ummi." O Sa'ad, fire these arrows, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu says that I did not hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathering his mother and father for anyone. This was a common thing among the Arabs that they would say, "May my father be sacrificed for you, may my mother be sacrificed for you," when showing respect to a person. Then they would use these words. So he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used these words, but used one of his parents for others. This is the only time that I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using both his parents, "May my mother and father be sacrificed for you." However, other narrations explain the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used these words for Zubayr radiallahu anhu as well. Perhaps Ali radiallahu anhu was not present at that occasion and he did not hear those words from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this way, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu fired 1,000 arrows. And every arrow he fired, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing, Irmi fidaka abi wa ummi. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't only say it once for him, rather Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it so many times for him. Another sahabi, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, Ansari sahabi, the stepfather of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he also was a great archer. And he also defended Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his arrows, until he finished all his arrows. Then when anyone else came by with a quiver, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them that pass the arrows to Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And like this, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu broke 2 to 3 bows in his hand on that day, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would use his chest as a shield and his neck as a shield for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would peep, would look up to try and see where the arrows are hitting. But this sahabi would plead, Ya Nabi Allah, bi abi anta wa ummi, la tushrif, yusibka sahmun min siham al-qawm. O Nabi of Allah, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. O Nabi of Allah, don't look, because it's possible that an arrow may come and hit you. And then he would say, Nahri duna nahrik. O Nabi of Allah, my neck comes first before your neck. This is how Sahaba radiallahu anhu protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, as we explained previously, the one that took that sword from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This sahabi, he used his back as a shield, bending over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used his back as a shield, and his back was being hit with arrows, but the sahabi never flinched. He never moved, and he protected Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way. Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu actually used his face as a shield for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until finally one arrow came and hit his eye. His eye popped out of the socket. It flowed onto his cheek. The sahabi holds his eye in his hand and he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tears. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tears, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allahumma qi qatadata kama waqa wajha nabiyyik. Oh Allah, you protect him as he has protected the mubarak face of your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, if you want, I can put the eye back into the socket. Or if you want, you can make sabr and Allah will give you jannat. So this sahabi says, he says, O Nabi of Allah, Jannat is a very great prize. Jannat is a very great thing, and everyone desires Jannat. But O Nabi of Allah, I enjoy a very close relationship with my wife. We have a very close bond and relationship. And O Nabi of Allah, I fear that if I have one eye, my wife will not be interested in me. My wife will not like me. So O Nabi of Allah, return this eye. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns the eye of Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu to the socket, places his mubarak saliva, and he makes dua for this sahabi, that Allah must bless this eye with beauty. This eye was the sharper of the two eyes. No one could make out which eye it was, and this eye was better than the other eye. Later on in history, when one of the progenies of Qatada bin Nu'man, one person from his progeny, comes into the court of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, and Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi asks him to introduce himself. Who are you? He replies and he says, Ana ibn alladhi salat ala al-khaddi aynuhu, faruddat bi kaffi al-mustafa ahsana al-raddi, fa'adat kama kanat li awwali amriha, faya husna ma aynun wa ya husna ma khaddu. He says that I am the son of that person whose eye flowed onto his cheek, and then it was returned, the best of returning, with the mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How and then he says that eye became like how it was before. How beautiful was that eye, and how beautiful was that cheek. That cheek and that eye that was touched with the mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, when he heard this, then he was very impressed, and he says, this is how people should introduce themselves. Meaning that our introduction is not on the basis of dunya, that my father's bank balance is so much, and this is who my family member is, such a prominent person. Rather on the basis of dini sacrifice, that I am the son, I am the progeny of that person who gave his eye in protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So like this, in this way, many, many Sahaba radiallahu anhum displayed amazing love and sacrifice, not worrying about themselves, not concerned about themselves, just the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent that one Sahabiya, Ummu Umara Nasiba bint Ka'ab radiallahu anha, she comes with water to give water to those that are wounded, and the entire tide of the war changes at that moment. She was there. Now when the attack and onslaught is being launched against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so she also, this Sahabiya radiallahu anha, when Ibn Qamiya was coming to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she stands in front of Ibn Qamiya, and she also fought and defended Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, she was also injured and wounded very, very severely during this battle in protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, it doesn't mean that women should go out for war, etc. She came out to assist the wounded. She came out for water, to give water to the wounded. And at that time, the situation changed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was left unprotected and undefended. So the Sahabiya felt that now it is my responsibility to at least try and protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whichever way I can. Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, in our words, we can say the man of the match. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to say regarding Talha radiallahu anhu, that ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمْ كُلَّهُ لِطَلْحَى, that day, the whole day was Talha's day. Meaning what Talha radiallahu anhu did for himself on that day, no one could do that. What he earned on that day, no one could earn. That was the day of Talha. Talha radiallahu anhu stood by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right through. He was at the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encouraging those Ansari Sahaba to go and protect him, every time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out, Talha radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I'm ready." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Not you." Again, the next time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called, he said, "I'm ready." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Not you." Until all those Ansari Sahaba passed away, all of them became shaheed, and then Talha radiallahu anhu defended Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. Riwayat explained that he defended Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam like 7 of those Ansari Sahaba defended. That was how Talha radiallahu anhu defended Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was injured. His hand became paralyzed in shielding Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the arrows. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that when I was separated slightly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I realized where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and I came and I see a person defending Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I desired that this should be Talha. He says because this was a privilege that I missed out. I could not be there with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout like how that person was. So he says, I felt that if it's not me, at least a close family member of mine. And Talha radiallahu anhu was my family member. The desire came in my heart that it should be Talha. When I came there, it was Talha radiallahu anhu. He says, we rushed to look at, to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, look for Talha. Go take care of him. He says, when we go to Talha radiallahu anhu, he was unconscious. He says, after seeing to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I sprinkled some water in the face of Talha radiallahu anhu. He regained consciousness, and the first thing that he asked, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He did everything for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He fell unconscious also, but even in that situation, the concern was the well-being of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In all of this, in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum displaying this love and sacrifice in protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah blessed these Sahaba radiallahu anhum with a very, very amazing bounty. In the midst of the battle, at one point, Allah allowed all of them to fall off to sleep. Allah says in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا يَخْشَى طَائِفَةً مِّنْكُمْ. In the battle of Badr as well, all Sahaba fell off to sleep. Allah allowed the sleep to overcome them, so that their fear may go away, and they would be refreshed to fight. In the battle of Uhud, these Sahaba that were close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that stuck with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah allowed sleep to come over them. In the midst of the battle, when things were so tense, they fell off to sleep to such an extent that some of them's swords began to fall from their hands. In fact, a few times the sword fell. Then one Sahabi says that I could actually hear the sound of snoring. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with this peace and tranquility that overcame these Sahaba radiallahu anhum that protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The disbelievers tried very, very hard, as we explained. Some narrations explain that 70 attacks of the sword on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam But Allah protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi says, I saw arrows being shot at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the center of all of that, but all the arrows were just being diverted. One sahabi says, I saw two people on either side, dressed in white, protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on he realized and came to know, one was Jibreel and the other was Mikail alayhi wa salatu wa salam. So this is how Allah had protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured in this battle. Utba bin Abi Waqqas, the brother of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an, unfortunate soul, he threw four stones at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three stones missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, one of these stones hit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak face and his mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's right lower incisor, the lateral incisor, which is the tooth that is next to the canine. That tooth was chipped, that mubarak tooth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chipped because of this. And blood flowed from the mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped that blood out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَيْفَ يُفْلِحُ قَوْمٌ خَضَبُوا وَجْهَ نَبِيِّهِمْ وَهُوَ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. How can those people ever be successful who have smeared the face of their Nabi with blood when the Nabi is calling them and inviting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? However, on the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant that these people can never be blessed with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had corrected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ayat of Quran was revealed, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Explaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that hidayat, and who will be guided, who will not be guided, this is not your prerogative. This is not your choice. It is the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can give these people hidayat as well. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy them. And then many of these people, obviously not Utba bin Abi Waqqas, but many of those people that fought against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereafter became great sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Shihab al-Zuhri, he also threw a stone on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this wounded the mubarak forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abdullah bin Qamiya, that wretched individual who tried very hard to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tried to strike Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on so many occasions, one of his blows had hit the helmet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of it hitting the helmet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then two links of the helmet had pierced the mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wounding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he strikes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way, he says, خُذْهَا وَأَنَا ابْنُ قَمِيعَ. Take this blow, I am Ibn Qamiya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa responds, أَقْمَأَكَ Allah, using the same root letters of his name, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace you. And it is mentioned thereafter, that not long thereafter, he, whilst he was traveling somewhere, two narrations, one is whilst he was traveling somewhere, A mountain goat had attacked him and butted him with its horns, gored him until finally it finished him off and made him into pieces. Another narration is that once he was with his own herd of goats, and one of his goats had butted him and dropped him from the mountain. This was the end result of this great disrespect that he had showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the injury that he caused to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another injury that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered was because of some pits, some holes that were dug on the battlefield. Abu Amir al-Rahib, we discussed in the beginning that a pious person in Jahiliyyah time from the Ansar who went over to Makkah Mukarramah because he could not bear the light of Islam spreading in Medina Munawwara, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his name from Rahib to Fasiq. One of the plans that he had thought of was to dig some pits and some holes on the battlefield. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would fall in this and they would lose their balance. And during this entire confusion and this attack and onslaught against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell into one of these pits, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing two armors, so his weight was quite heavy at that time, or the burden was quite heavy, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam falls down, and in this way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had injured his side as well. By the time all of this had happened, Sahaba radiallahu anhum now got some footing as well. And they were all looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a Sahabi by the name of Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he was the first one to spot Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, apart from those that were around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu that were scattered all over. He spotted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recognizing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the glow of his Mubarak eyes that shone from the helmet that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a helmet, so to a certain extent his face, his Mubarak face was not very visible. But through the glow of the Mubarak eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as he recognized Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls out to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because up till this point, many of them thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. So he called out to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then Sahaba radiallahu anhum rushed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when he came and saw the rings of the helmet in the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rushed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also rushing. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him, allow me to take out these rings. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said, oh Abu Bakr, please, I want this opportunity. He begged him and he says, oh Abu Bakr, I want this opportunity. Now he needed to take the Mubarak, to take out the rings from the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without causing more hurt to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu felt that if I use my hands, my fingers, I will injure Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more. So he used his teeth, and in so doing, one of his front tooth falls off in removing one ring. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells him, let me do the next one. He pleads to him again, that, oh Abu Bakr, I want to take it out. And then again using his teeth, he takes the next ring out, and the second front tooth of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had fallen in removing these rings from the Mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did not have two front teeth. In Arabic, there's a word for this, ahtaf, a person who doesn't have the front teeth. But Sahaba say that there was no one more handsome than Abu Ubaidah, from those that did not have front teeth, there was no one that was more handsome looking without these front teeth than Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. It was because these two teeth were sacrificed in removing those rings from the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu gathered around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these rings were removed, then blood flowed from the Mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another Sahabi, Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu anhu, the father of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, Allah blessed him with this privilege that he sucked that blood from the Mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, did you take in my blood? He says, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the glad tidings. Man massa damuhu dami lam yusibhu nar. That person who my blood and his blood mixes, then Jahannam can never touch that person. Here obviously we should understand that all whatever came out from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam was pure, was absolutely pak. Therefore it was absolutely permissible for him to suck the Mubarak blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only permissible, it was a great honor to suck the Mubarak blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, by now there were quite a few Sahaba that had gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they moved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now to a place of safety. They moved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the valley, which was near the mountain, to give added protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could, the other Sahaba could see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe and sound. Whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being taken in this way, then a very wretched person, Ubay bin Khalaf, he comes and he says, La najawtu in najah Muhammad, that I cannot be safe if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe today. And what was the reason for this was that in Makkah Mukarrama, he used to say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have kept a horse and I feed this horse a certain measurement of maize every day. And na'udhu billah, I'm going to kill you while riding on this horse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I will actually kill you. So he comes running, looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, riding on the same horse of his. As he comes closer, Sahaba asks, O Nabi of Allah, must we take care of him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, leave him. Leave him, let him come. Until he came right near Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a spear from a Sahabi by the name of Harith ibn Simma radiallahu anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just grazes his neck. Grazes his neck with the spear. This, because of this one graze of the spear, he falls off his horse and he rolls a few times. Then he goes to the disbelievers and he's screaming in pain. He's saying, I'm dying. They say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? It's just a small wound. He says that if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to spit on me also, I will die because of that. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that he's going to kill me. So I'm definitely going to die. And he says, I'm experiencing such excruciating pain that if this pain had to be split among an entire tribe or entire family, all of them will die because of this pain. Finally, whilst returning to Makkah Mukarramah at a place named Sarif, approximately 6 miles before Makkah Mukarramah, this wretched individual had died. This was the only person that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had killed in his life. The only person that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam killed in his life was Ubay bin Khalaf. In this way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was protected from him. Sahaba take Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into the valley, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried to climb onto a rock. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was already weak. Wearing two armors was more difficult for him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could not climb onto the rock. Again, Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu was there. He bends down, places his body on the ground like a step for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts his mubarak foot on the body of Talha radiallahu anhu and climbs on the rock. On this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "O Jabba Talha, Talha has made Jannat wajib for himself. Talha has made Jannat wajib for himself." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a little love that Sahaba radiallahu anhu had, just a fraction of the love that Sahaba radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to sacrifice our haram pleasures, to fulfill the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to uphold the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to sacrifice a little of our time for the sake of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.